Hey everybody, welcome back to Review Crew. I'm Ian.
And I'm Thomas, and today we're reviewing Dumb Money.
Dumb Money is a 2023 film about a man investing in the stock market, pretty much. And, I mean, everybody knew about this when it was happening.
Oh my gosh, it was probably the biggest thing to happen, besides the coronavirus, of course. I mean, this thing was absolutely huge.
And it covered everything. I mean, my physics teacher, I remember him, like, stopping class completely because he was freaking out about his GameStop stocks, which was just, like, absolutely nuts.
You're lucky, man. My teachers didn't care about it, but, hey, I mean, that's just me. You were lucky. You lucked out with the teachers caring about this. But anyways, Dumb Money. I mean, let's just jump right into it, man.
Yeah, let's jump right into it.
First of all, the performances. I mean, what do you think of the performances? What do you think of Paul Dano, you know, the supporting cast? What were your thoughts on it generally?
I think everybody did, like, a good job, pretty much. I don't think anybody's performance was, like, insane. I mean, Paul Dano is just, like, a good actor, and he brought his good acting to the table, but, like, nobody blew my mind. You know, you're not going to get Pete Davidson to give, like, a performance of a lifetime. I mean, there's that scene where he's, like, a single tear runs down his cheek. I'm like, I'm not buying this because it's Pete Davidson.
Yeah, I have such a beef with Pete Davidson. Every movie he's in, he's just Pete Davidson acting as Pete Davidson. And don't get me wrong, he kills the role that he portrays, but I just found no value to this role. It meant nothing to me when I was watching Dumb Money.
I agree. And you've told me multiple times that they should have cut the brother out of the movie, but
I really didn't like
him. We can't really forget that this is based on a true story, and you know, I think the casting is interesting in that perspective too, because I don't think Paul Dano looks anything like the real.
He really doesn't. I think he personifies Roaring Kitty pretty well, but
I think he acts.
I just don't think he looks
well,
like him very much. But
yeah.
I mean, that's just a minor nitpick. I mean, it's a movie; it dramatizes everything, so it doesn't at the end of the day really matter that much to me.
Speaking of the drama in the movie, what do you think of the drama in the movie and the plot and everything?
So, from, like, a broad perspective, I thought it was great. I remembered this happening live, and I was happy to revisit it. But, you know, when we get down to the nitty-gritty, the jargon of all of it, I just was lost in sauce. I don't understand Wall Street that much. So anytime they mention anything about stocks or whatever, my mind just went blank. But again, like I said, I understood, like, a basic point. What about you, man? What'd you think?
They always tried to, like, clue the audience in to what they were talking about, because it's like it's just stock jargon.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really get it either, but I was happy to be along for the ride. You know, it felt like I was my own, like, sub story in the movie.
I was happy that they kept referencing the meme, like the hold the line, you know, the apes to the moon.
That's what I really understood about the whole thing.
Yeah, me too. I remember I remember, you know, posting on Instagram and Reddit all that stuff, but And I didn't even participate in it.
And you were there.
I was there. I was on the front line.
But speaking of these, like, multiple characters, what'd you think of these, like, other people besides just Keith Hill and, like, his family? What'd you think of, like, these
side stories? I personally really enjoyed
it
because it gave us the message that anyone can get rich from this. It doesn't matter what your background is. I mean, we saw a nurse who was in debt. We saw college students who were in debt.
Hey, nurse who's still in debt, by
a nurse who's still in debt. But
holding
the
line.
She's still holding to this day. But she dug her way out of a lot of debt. You know, college students were in debt. That personally related to me a lot because, you know, I'm in college right now. And, you know, I might go into debt. But, hey, anyone can get rich. Anyone can profit from penny stocks. Anyone can profit from Wall Street. I like the part with the GameStop employee, you know, who was currently struggling to, you know, make ends meet as well. I thought it was a great message to prove that anyone can get rich from this. Yeah.
I agree. I think the themes of the movie were very well, like, well made, and it's, like, it's right out there for you to find, even if you're an actual idiot, even if you're dumb. You can still grasp that these are the heroes of the story, and not just Keith Hill made it happen. It was all the people who bought GameStop stocks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that all culminated at the, you know, Congress meeting where, like, all these people who, you know, built up this GameStop stock, and, you know, Keith Hill to present himself in front of Congress, give a testimony. And that, to me, was probably the best part of the movie.
I completely agree.
Because Paul Dano, he recited verbatim the testimony of Keith Hill, and it was just so unbelievably good. I thought he said it very well. The best part of it was when he quoted, "I like the stock." I mean, that was
probably
the most earned moment of the movie.
I agree. That was so earned. And, you know, the whole drama of it is so weird because we, like, just lived it.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing, like, like, we were both talking about this after the movie, when Wall Street Bet shut down, we both, like, felt it, even though we remembered it happening.
And then we remembered that it came back, and then it did.
We knew it came back.
And I still acted like I was, like, surprised that it came back.
And then he was still holding. We all knew all of that, but it, like, I don't know, it, like, we got lost in the movie somehow.
I mean, in 2030, when everybody forgets what happened and they want to revisit it, they'll be blown away again.
They'll watch Dumb Money. Do you think this movie came out at a bad time?
I think it came out too early if they wanted to, like, really, like, encapsulate the moment. Like, if they wanted, I think they should have waited maybe, like, a decade, maybe even just 5 years if they wanted to revisit it. But, I mean, I think it's going to do moderately well at the box office. I think people will talk about it for a few weeks, but it's nothing to write home about.
It's already doing pretty well at the box office, yeah, from what I understand. And, you know, to me, this movie is a lot like Air, which released earlier this year. I don't know if you saw it. It's like Air set in 2020 instead of revolving around, like this guy, he had a dream to make a shoe and he did it. It's this guy, he had a dream to get rich and he did it. It's like, and the soundtracks, it's like, instead of having your, like, typical 80s soundtrack, you have your typical 2020 soundtrack, yep, which was
Megan Thee Stallion,
the fact that that was, like, the opening song for the movie, it tells you everything you need to know.
Yep.
Like, you're in for a stupid movie.
A stupid movie. Stupid movie about a stupid game that earned stupid money.
You're so right.
Yeah, man.
But we talked about Paul Dano, Pete Davidson. What do you think of the, like, supporting cast? How their performances were?
I thought they did generally well. I liked America Ferrera as, I don't remember her name, forgive me, whoever you are, nurse.
The nurse.
I thought she did pretty well. I wasn't in love with her story, but I thought it was fine. Anthony Ramos was the GameStop employee. I thought he did pretty well. Two actors I did not like. I didn't like Seth Rogen. I didn't like Nick Offerman. I just thought, I don't know. They're not right for the role. I didn't vibe with their role.
I thought they did fine,
but I just didn't vibe with the role.
They were good for their role. Mm-hmm. They acted well, but they weren't the right cast.
Especially
choice.
Nick Offerman. He felt very stiff to me.
Mm-hmm. And especially because all of his scenes...
He was sitting down and eating
in all of his scenes. Because yeah, they were like, we got Nick Offerman for 5 hours on this set. We have to get all of his 12 lines out now.
Yep. One small role that was minuscule in the long run of the movie that I just could not get out of my head was Dane DeHaan as Anthony Ramos, the GameStop employee's boss. And every time I saw him on screen, I just couldn't stop thinking that was the Green Goblin from Amazing Spider-Man 2. I just could not stop thinking it.
I mean, I think that all these like characters, everything, I don't know, it all just kind of worked for me. But what about you? What would you rate this movie out of 10?
So, Thomas, going into this movie, I expected a 6 out of 10 movie. It does its job. It's nothing special. It's nothing terrible. And I walked out of it feeling like I got a 6 out of 10 movie. However, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 because the movie is largely set in Boston, Massachusetts, which is my hometown. So I'm giving Dumb Money a 7 out of 10.
You know, Thomas, as for me, I like the movie. I'm giving this one an 8 out of 10. Thanks for watching. We'll
Cheers,
see you guys
everybody.
Next time.